All right. Well, listen, it's a blessing to be here this morning with all of you, and I pray you are excited to get into the Word. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. For those of you who are visiting us, we want to welcome you and praise the Lord that you're joining us, whether here in person or online. We're blessed to have you join in, and I just want to give a quick shout out to my mom. Love you, Mom, and my sister Linda and the rest of the family. What's up? As you turn to Ephesians, I do have a couple of things I want to just share with you really briefly. And number one is this. Sunday, June 22nd, in the NPR, we're having our Recovery Ministry Q&A. It's a roundtable discussion. And I want to just share this with you because I think many of us in here may have somebody that we know, or you yourself may be battling with some form of addiction. It doesn't mean just alcohol. There's other forms of addiction. But this is an amazing time to be able to gather and just gain some knowledge, gain some insight in how to minister to those who may be struggling with addiction. So it's a twofold blessing. You can ask questions, whether you have addictions or maybe you're a family member who knows one who is. It's just going to be an amazing time. So we want to encourage you to be a part of that. And I also just, you know, from what we've been going through and what we've been seeing throughout this ministry is Jesus, it's not a 12-step program, okay? Jesus is the only one who's going to heal people from addictions. And so we want to encourage them in their relationship with the Lord. And the curriculum that we're using is pretty amazing. So be a part of that. And then the other thing I just want to share really briefly is this. You know, a few of us, the pastors on staff, a few of us went to Colorado during the middle of the week, and we were completely blessed by the conference that we were able to attend. And all throughout this conference, the speakers, we went through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy all throughout this week. Amazing speakers, but one of the themes that I pray, which I believe ties in with what we're doing with this book, and that is growing deeper in our understanding of who God is. To truly be able to express God's love through the gospel message, that through sound doctrine, not only do we build up one another, but we help the beloved saints from falling away from Jesus and getting caught up in the things of this world. And so all throughout the conference, the encouragement was stay the course, preach the word, and grow in grace. And so I'm excited this morning to get into this portion of scripture because that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. And so if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. Our ushers are ready to throw one at you. Anyone? If you do not have a Bible personally, you can keep this one. But it's just to help you follow along so that you know we are teaching from the Word of God. And so if you all have your Bible and you're open to chapter 2, let's all stand if you can out of reverence. Beginning in chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commands contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Lord, we thank you again for this time that we can gather. And as we worship you in song, we want to now worship you as we sit and study your word. And I do pray that we would see the beauty of your grace throughout this portion of scripture. So again, we ask that you would be our teacher. Bless this time. Remove all distractions, Lord. Help us to tune in to your word and your voice alone. And we ask, God, change us. We want more of you, Jesus. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So as we're in chapter 2, and we're kind of going slow throughout this portion of scripture, and I know what you're thinking, Pastor Jerry, you don't even know the meaning of fast. You are always slow, okay? But one of the things, again, the heart and the purpose behind this is to grow deeper in our understanding and not just know the words and know what verses to say, but to fully grasp and understand the meaning behind God's grace. And so it is important for us because today we want to explain the gospel in a way that even a five-year-old or a six-year-old can understand it. And, you know, you will be amazed at how challenging it can be. For example, how many of you have ever heard another believer in Christ share their faith with somebody and then to witness the person across them looking with this look of, what are you talking about? And most of the time, we don't realize that when we talk to people about Jesus, we use Bible lingual. We use Christianese. We use words that sometimes non-believers don't understand. And so what we want to do by going through this book is understand what God's grace is, understand that there's a tremendous amount of color that is in this word grace, and we're dissecting, we're going through piece by piece so that we can get the full picture of what grace is. And I know that we all talk about God's unmerited favor. And again, how can we explain this to people who don't know God? And so this is why we're going slower. This is why I pray we're growing in that understanding. And so last week we witnessed Paul, remind these believers who were in Ephesus of their past. And again, the purpose of that is don't ever forget where you came from. The moment we forget about God's grace, his unmerited favor that's been poured out upon us, then we can become self-righteous and judgmental. So we don't ever want to forget where we came from. We started off with no relationship with God whatsoever. And Paul used the words of uncircumcision, aliens, and foreigners to describe that they were once outsiders. Again, he's speaking of their past. They didn't have the privileges as the Jewish people did, and that God approached them. God was the one who gave them the law. The Gentiles didn't have any of that. And so they were walking around in this world prior to coming to Christ aimlessly and without any hope. And I believe that describes 100% of this room. Before Christ, this was us. No hope, no excitement, thinking that all there is what we have right now in this world. And so not only was there, you know, that part of our past, we were far off, we were outsiders, but now because of God's grace, because of his great love and giving us what we don't deserve, listen, he intervened into our life and he was the one that brought you and I and these saints near to him. God did all of this. And he brought them near through the blood of Christ, which is, again, Jesus' death on the cross, his finished work. And it was Jesus' shed blood that reconciled us to God, who was able to bring us from separation to now becoming a child of God. And that's some good news, okay? That is something to be excited about, okay? I know that many times we can get excited about a few things. Okay, but this is far greater than any earthly excitement you could ever imagine, because here is the beauty. Here is the truth that I want you to meditate and unpack upon, and that is this, that God loves you so much that he wants to spend eternity with you. And so he did all of this. And so these are the pictures of grace that he's demonstrating, again, from being, you know, outsiders to now being reconciled and being one with God. And as we pick up in our study, the next picture of God's grace that Paul will unpack for us is this word peace, okay? This word peace, and what I need us to understand is peace is much more than just the absence of conflict. You know, sometimes you might go to work and go, whew, it was a good day because so-and-so wasn't here, okay? It's much more than this, okay? And what I want us to see really quickly is peace is tranquility, harmony, or security. And there's, of course, a couple of kinds of peace that I want to talk about today. Number one is there is peace with God. In other words, this is speaking of our salvation. Like I said last week, remember your past. We were enemies. We were outsiders to the promises of God. But Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tells us this: therefore, having been justified, being made right with God, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And so when a person is in a right relationship with God through faith, he is no longer God's enemy. We become a child of God. Remember, team world, believe in Christ. Now we're on team Jesus. Okay? So this is now having peace with God, where we can reconnect. We are restored in a right relationship with him. And I pray that that would give you peace today, that you can actually have a personal and right relationship with the very one who created everything in this world. Listen, out of nothing. That's some power. That's pretty amazing to me. That got me excited. There's another kind of peace, and that is the peace of God. And this is the kind of peace, listen, beloved, when your world is falling apart due to difficulty. I thought I would get an amen there, because I know some of y'all are going through it right now. But it's when you're going through these difficulties, whether it's issues of life or people, you know, it doesn't matter. There's conflict in our world right now. Would you say yes? There's conflict sometimes on your block. You got your neighbors. There's conflict in the work office or on your campus, or maybe you have a conflict at the gym you go to. I mean, you're there to exercise and everybody else is there just to look at themselves in the mirror. It's like, go home and do that. Let me get my thing on. You know, I need to exercise. Get out of the way. There's only so many pictures you could take in a mirror, right? But when all of these things happen, sometimes panic or stress happens, but when you have the peace of God, there's an inner peace in the midst of all the chaos. And why is that? Because you know that God is still in control. Because you know, listen, that he is the one who's going to work all things out. So there's, again, several different kinds of peace that I want you to realize through God's grace, his favor being poured out, that we have the ability to be at peace with God and then to have the peace that surpasses all understanding with the things of this world. And so we see in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it's an amazing portion of scripture that we're not to be anxious over anything, but we're to go to God in prayer, and it is prayer that guards and protects our heart from all of the chaos that we see happening, from all of the things that we may be going through. And I get it. Some of us in this room are going through it. And I'm not trying to tell you, you know, oh, everything is going to be okay. What I'm here to tell you is look to Jesus, and he's the one that gets you through your difficulty. He will be the one to give you a smile on your face when chaos is happening. He is the one that will give you the peace to know, no matter how crazy things are, God will ultimately bring peace. And so as we now are looking to this amazing picture of God's grace through peace, notice verse 14, we're going to move on here, and it says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. And so Paul wanted these saints and us to know today, Jesus not only brings them peace or us peace, he is the source of peace. Okay, did you guys catch that? Listen, in the Old Testament, the prophets, many of them, specifically Isaiah, called the coming Messiah, the Christ, this child that was to come into this world, the Prince of what? Peace. It describes who he is. And then, of course, in the New Testament, when an angel of the Lord, this divine messenger, revealed to some shepherds that on this night, a Savior was born in the city of Bethlehem. And what else did the angel tell them? That this Savior, this child that would be coming into this world, would bring peace and goodwill to all men. Listen, it goes even deeper than this, because Jesus himself told his disciples in John chapter 16, I've shared all these things with you during the night of his betrayal. You want to do an in-depth study on the life of Jesus? just focus on John chapter 13 all the way up to John chapter 19. Just look at everything that John recorded in one night of Jesus' life. And all throughout this night, Jesus told them some difficult things. Their hearts were troubled. They were confused and worried about what was next. And yet Jesus said, I've told you all of these things not to freak you out, but to give you peace. Be of good cheer. Why? You will go through difficulty, but in me, you'll receive peace. So what I love about this verse is it says Jesus alone is the one who makes it possible for this peace to exist in our lives. The word made here in this verse, what it says, he who made both one, this word made speaks of, or the definition of it is to cause a state to be. So in other words, Jesus and Jesus alone made it possible for there to be peace between the two, which he made one, are the Jews and the Gentiles. The question that we need to ask is, how did he cause the two groups of people to become one? Because we can bypass this and go, yeah, that's pretty cool. But how did Jesus take the Jews and the Gentiles, and his desire was to make them one? Well, we see in the scriptures that it was Jesus shed blood on the cross that caused both Jew and Gentile to be at peace with each other. It was Jesus and what he did on the cross. And I want us to see this because it's Jesus and his blood on the cross, this finished work. This is what the cross will do. It will cause people to stop looking outwardly and to start looking inward. Did you guys catch that? When you look at the cross, when we start understanding what the cross is all about and what Jesus did on the cross, then there's something that takes place. We begin to acknowledge that we were the ones that put him there. Has nothing to do with anybody else, because the cross is meant for us to look within and to help us realize that it was us, me, who put Jesus on that cross. And because of this, not only do we acknowledge that we messed up, we can then also acknowledge that everybody else messes up. Praise the Lord. Right? You're not the only one that's bad. All of us are. Listen, here is the truth. Love me or hate me, but I just need to tell you, we are all sinners in need of a Savior. I know there may be some good people out there, but I guarantee you this. If you don't know Jesus and you take your last breath here on this earth, there are going to be some good people in hell. And I want you to know really clearly, they were able to stop looking outward, stop looking at others, and began to look inward and to acknowledge again that they needed a Savior. Listen, beloved, it was Jesus shed blood on the cross that was able to put an end to all hostility, to all hatred, to all prejudice, and to all racism. It is Jesus shed blood on the cross that caused them, listen, to see that the conflicts that they were in, the battles that they were in, was not a skin issue, it was a sin issue. That's what the cross will do. Because when you look at the cross and what Jesus did, it says that God so loved the world. That means he loved you. He loved everybody who has breath in their lungs. He loved the world that he was willing to do something about it. He intervened. He came, took upon flesh. And not only that, but here is what the beautiful part is. It was through Jesus sacrificing his life, through his death and resurrection, that brings peace with God first, and then peace with one another. This is how Jesus made the two one. Jew and Gentile, God never desired for his family to be divided. They were meant to be one. So Jesus did this by breaking down the wall, it says. He destroyed this middle wall of separation between the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, there are two schools of thoughts here concerning what this middle wall of separation is. The first thought is that it refers to a physical barrier that separated the courts of the Gentile from the rest of the temple. If you were to look at an example or a model of what the temple would have looked like during Jesus' days, there would have been this wall, this middle barrier all around the temple. And this wall is what separated different compartments. There was a section for the Gentiles, there were a section for women, and then there were a section for the Jewish men. And so when we look at what it's saying here, if you take the first thought, that this barrier, which was called the Soreg, and it had a sign on the exterior part of it, and it was a warning to the Gentiles. This little barrier basically said, don't enter or else suffer the consequences. And what were the consequences? Death. Okay? So if you were a Gentile, you were only allowed to be on the outskirts of the temple. So there was a separation. The second school of thought was not referring to a physical wall, but it was referring to the walls that the Jews and the Gentiles themselves built up. It was the wall of hostility, the wall of hatred. It was the wall of religion. So it was speaking of a symbolic wall. But here's what I want us to understand. Whichever school of thought you want to lean on, I personally believe it doesn't have to be one or the other. They both make sense. Jesus did both. He not only removed that physical barrier, but also the barriers that we put up toward one another. And so Jesus himself, listen, sacrifice on the cross is what destroyed that barrier. He destroyed this separation. And I have to remind us again, because of the fact that whoever places their faith in Christ, remember with me what we discovered in chapter 1. When you put your faith in Christ, you now have the ability to receive all of the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. So what does this tell us? That there is no more division because of the cross. That there's no more separation because of the cross. And it is Jesus alone who was able to bring the Jews and the Gentiles to becoming one. And how do I know this to be true? Just look at what John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13 says. Notice this. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. So listen to this. God, who is the creator of all things, who created the world, came into the world. And then it says here, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus came specifically to the chosen people of God, the nation of Israel. They did not receive him as their savior, as their Messiah. So what happened? Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What is this telling us? Whoever believed in his name, doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile, to those who believed in the finished work of the cross, listen carefully, they were the ones that were adopted into God's family. Have you ever noticed when we talk about the family of God, you are either a brother or a sister? There's no fathers. There's no grandparents. There's just brother and sister. So turn to your neighbor and say, we family. Now, for those of you who didn't say it, turn back to the person and say, deal with it. This is how Jesus brought the two becoming one. In verse 15, it says this, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So Paul explains how Jesus did it once again. And he's going to expound on this because there's something that we need to make sure that we see. What did Paul want them to know about this? This one verse, there's a few different things. Number one, it's through Jesus and his death, again, coming back to the cross, who put an end to all the hostility and the hatred between the two groups of people. Do you remember how I expressed last week what the Jews actually would pray? How they would thank God that they were not Gentiles, that they literally believed that the Gentiles were no better than dogs and they were only deserving of hell. That's some hatred. You know, I don't know I'm not advocating for this movie at all, but one of the things that I enjoy watching is movies that are based upon true stories. And the one movie that really just gets under my skin at times is the movie 42, the Jackie Robinson story, and how cruelly they treated him because of the color of his skin. And it amazes me how, again, it's based upon a true story. And again, I understand that Hollywood can paint some pictures, but it was no joke. And it's still no joke. It amazes me how much a group of people can hate another group of people. I don't get it. And I'm not saying I'm the most spiritual person in the world, but God help us never to treat another individual cruelly just because of the color of their skin. Jesus is the one who puts an end to this hostility. And how do we know this? Because the word abolish means to set aside, to wipe out, to cause something to become idle, to become inactive. So Jesus took away all of this hostility and he has the power to do it. What is another point that Paul wanted them to know? Jesus is the one who put an end to all of the commandments that were related to the feast, to the sacrifices, and to the ceremonies of purification. For those of you who may not know this, back in the Old Testament, God created a system, a sacrificial system. It was called the law, and all of these sacrifices were a temporary solution to approach God and to worship him. This was, again, in the Old Testament. What is important to point out? It was temporary. Until when? Until God said the seed of Abraham would come. This seed, again, it's one seed, that through the family line of Abraham, this Messiah, this Christ, who is Jesus Christ, would come. And when Jesus would come into this world, he would fulfill the law and give people an opportunity to be at peace with God, that they could worship God. So it was Jesus when he came into this world, and when he died this death, his death was the ultimate sacrifice. And why do I say that? Because it was his death that paid for the penalty of all the sins of the world. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled that debt. Again, previous were temporary. The blood of animals were never ever meant to cover or take away the sins of the world. It was a temporary covering for them to worship God. But when Jesus died and his blood was shed, he died once and for all. Romans chapter 6, verse 10. No longer are sacrifices needed. No longer are you required to keep all of these laws that were required back then of the Jewish people. And if you can remember with me, when we study through the book of Galatians, what upset Paul? That the Jewish people, the religious leaders, held their man-made laws above God's word because God never intended it to be this way. So it was Jesus who put an end to all of those man-made ceremonies and laws. And it was also Jesus is the one who created, the one who made one new man from the two, thus making peace. What does this mean? This one new man is speaking of the Jews and the Gentiles becoming one. It's speaking of us to this day as the church, that we are here as the body of Christ, not bodies, one body. And just like our body, we have many parts, fingers, toes. Listen, you want to know how important your body is? Just cut off even a quarter of it and you'll find out how important your body is. How do I know this personally? I've showed this. For those of you who see me do this, act like you haven't and just say, oh, wow. Okay. I've showed you my hand before. Remember that? You know, it's not that scary. I have my hand here, close together. I have it here. Look the same, right? Except one has a ring. But if you can see clearly, my ring finger is a lot shorter than this hand. And that's because a 50-pound jackhammer pinched it against the hollow block wall and the whole tip blew off. And I felt that one quarter of my finger. And I felt it, and I still feel it because I don't have any feeling in it today. That little one quarter matters. And when I look around this church, when I look around this room, I see every different denomination, or not denomination, but every different nationality. But yet we're called the body. Because you all play a part in the body. And when we look at what Jesus did in bringing these two one, again, I hope and pray that you would see this, because it is not impossible for two warring groups of people to live at peace with one. Because I guarantee you, there is no other reason why we're here other than Jesus. Right? It would be very rare, if we were still in the world, that we would be gathering together to open up a Bible. The only time you'll see this many people who have different backgrounds, different ages, is at a restaurant. Because they're going to eat. Right? Or there's a party going on. Doesn't matter. Different groups of people will join up. But how is this possible? Through Jesus' finished work on the cross. You see, verse 16, let's go on, that he made, that he might reconcile them both to God, again, picture of God's grace, in one body through the cross. See, Paul is laying it out very clearly for us how this all came to be, thereby putting to death the enmity. And again, Paul is just nailing this point, because it is Jesus and Jesus alone who puts an end to division. And he is the one who puts an end to all the hostility. This is why it's important for us to stay focused on what matters most. As believers in Christ, you know what matters most? Your salvation. Your personal relationship with the Lord. It is so important that we see that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what brings, again, warring people, people who are hostile toward each other, to the point where if they look at the cross, they look within, and they stop looking outwardly. If they are able to see the beauty of the cross, Jesus has that power to break down those walls and to bring unity, to bring peace. This is so important that we understand that God's desire for his church was for there to be unity and not separation. You know, there's so many things that I think are important, and we can go into several different areas of this. But I just want you to know, and I pray that you would understand, that this fellowship, this church, its foundation is Jesus. It's very clear. There's no other foundation that anybody can lay other than Jesus Christ. And the reason why we're going to stay focused on this is because it's the gospel that changes people's lives. It is the gospel that has the ability to restore marriages, and I can testify to that. It is the gospel that can restore, listen, even those coming from different denominations. You know, I'm going to be very transparent with you. I remember when I got saved in a church in California, Calvary Chapel. And God, for some reason, called Maurice and I to move out of California to a much safer place called Las Vegas. And I remember, you know, showing up to this church, and almost every word out of my mouth was, that's not how we did it at my old church. That, you know, back in my old church, this is how we roll. Like, you know, this is what we did, and it was fruitful, and everything was all about that church. And I'm so thankful that the people were very gracious. I know I irritated them, but they were very gracious in the fact that they would kindly say, praise God for the work that he did in your church back there, but God now wants to do something new. Be open to what God wants to do new. And I think this is important because, again, our city's blowing up. And there are people coming from other churches. I've met some of you from other Calvary chapels, and that blesses me. And there's other people who are coming from other denominations and other religions. That blesses me as well. And why am I sharing this? Because I believe with all my heart, no matter who walks through those doors, we are to be a family. We are to set aside the differences and we welcome everybody. But listen carefully. Don't misquote me on this. We love everybody and everybody's welcomed, but it's not Burger King and you're not going to have it your way. We don't have a problem who walks through the doors. Why? Because we're all sinners in need of a Savior. Many of us, hey, if we ever walked through the door back in our day, how many of us would have gotten the look? How many of us, you know, would have been felt, you know, may have felt uncomfortable because nobody came and approached themselves to us or to me? Or, you know, oh, look at that dude. I don't know about him. He's still walking a little crooked and he smells funny. People are welcomed here. But I'm going to tell you this, whoever walks through those doors is not going to get my opinion. We're not going to teach about the culture. We're teaching them the word of God. Amen. This is what I believe pleases God. A room full of people who are here for one reason only, and that is to love him, to learn his ways, and to walk according to the truth. And we do need to extend grace to each other because we're all on different levels of our walk with the Lord. So just encourage each other. Be willing to extend that grace that God extended to us, we extend to each other. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
And listen, how do I know this to be true? Romans chapter 10, verse 11 to 13 says this, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what does it say? Shall be saved. That's good news. This is, again, another beautiful stripe developing this picture of grace for us. Notice verse 17 and 18. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Again, another beautiful picture of God's grace here. Let's not miss this. Notice, and he came, speaking of Jesus, the very source of peace, God himself taking upon flesh, came into this world, and what did he do? He preached. He went out and he shared with those who were afar off, those who were Gentiles, those who were near, who were the Jews. He came to his own first. And when his own didn't receive him, he opened up the door for anyone else who would want to receive him. You see, beloved, God doesn't force anybody to follow him. He opens the door for you. And if you choose not to walk through it, then that's your choice. That's your free will. But God is all along saying, enter, come. Come and get to know who I am. And because of this, as he preached, and when people received, notice verse 18. This is powerful. For through him, speaking of Jesus, again, because of the cross, God the Son made it possible. We both have access through what? By one Spirit. So now the Holy Spirit is working in the life of a believer, drawing them closer, giving us the ability to approach God. And who are we to approach? The Father. This is a beautiful picture of, again, the triune Godhead working in harmony to bring God glory. So not only do we see Jesus coming into this world preaching a message of peace, but do you also realize that even right now, at this very moment, not only did he preach a message of peace, but he's actually praying for you, that he's praying for me? Do you guys know that? Is this my opinion? No, it's according to Scripture. Notice John chapter 17, verses 20 to 21. You want to hear how Jesus prayed? Read that chapter. Jesus first prayed for himself that he would glorify the Father. Then he prayed for his disciples, the apostles that were with him, that they would remain, you know, firm in the faith, that they would stay strong, that regardless if the world hated them, that they would continue to preach the gospel. And then this last section, Jesus was praying for future believers who would come to faith through the message of the apostles. So he's praying this for you and me at this very moment. And what is he praying? Listen, it says here, I do not pray for these alone, speaking of the apostles, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Listen, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. What is God praying right now for us? That we would be what? One. No more division, no more barriers, no more hostility, no more hatred. Those are the ways of the world. Those are God's ways. And as we come and as we become a part of this family, this is the exact same thing that we need to, again, be willing to pray for each other. That there would be less of the world in us and more of Jesus. That we would have this ability to again, do the things that Jesus did while he was here on this earth. Now, for those of you who really want to try and mimic Jesus, don't go over to Sand Hollow and try walking on water. Okay? Don't do that. You'll find out really quickly that you're not Jesus. But what am I saying? Remember the verse. That he came and was willing to preach. To who? Just those that he liked? No. He went to those who were afar, those who were outsiders, those who were considered non-believers, and to those who were near, those who were the family, you know, that God chose, the nation of Israel, to those who believed they had a right relationship with God. He didn't preach anything different. He stayed with the message of grace. He stuck with the same message. And because of that message, there are many today who have been able to enter into the presence of God. This is why it's important for us today to preach the gospel. And so, beloved, what is our takeaway this morning for us? As we're learning about this word peace, remember, because we are now believers in Christ, because we are now his workmanship, remember, God's desire is for us to do good works. God's desire for us is to mimic, to copy, to follow Jesus' example. And do you realize that God has given all of us a specific task? And that task is what we call the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? That you and I would take this message, and as God was working in Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, that you and I will now go and reconcile the world to Jesus. That's what God has called us to do. God is entrusting the gospel message to us. He is entrusting us that we would give people an opportunity to know him. You know, how many of you are afraid to do it? How many of us are all like, oh, that's the pastor's job? Oh, no, that pastor, that's you. You're the shepherd. Come on, lead us. But do you realize I only see you once a week? What are you feeding on the other 6 days of the week? What is it that you're doing? Because if you have a fear of sharing your faith, here's the number reason why. I just don't like people. No, just kidding. Because sometimes, if we go back to high school, if you don't know the answer, you're not quick to raise your hand. But when you do know the answer, what does the hand look like? Come on, bring it. Because I know the answer. Do you realize sharing your faith should just be the natural overflow of your personal relationship with the Lord? I'm pretty sure that there's something in your heart right now that you love. And I'm pretty sure that whatever that thing is that you love, you have no problem talking about it. If I were to sit down, and I'm not saying this as a negative thing, but I've sat down with some men, and I can tell you right now that many of them, not all, but there have been some men who have talked, and all they talk about is what kind of fishing lure they use. What kind of bait and where they go to find this type of fish, and they have the answer. They have the tackle box. They have all of the tools that they need. And when one bait isn't working, they switch to another, and they have just an arsenal of lures and everything in their little tackle box, and they're like, so what do you use, Pastor? Whatever you want me to. I have no idea what I'm doing. All I know is fish are fish. But I know that there are some fish that don't like certain things, and I'm still trying to learn what that is. Because when I go fishing, I catch nothing. I'm still learning. Show some grace. I'm going to catch jaws soon, though, okay? But they know. There are some people in this room who know more stats about a sports player than they do their Bible. Oh, they can tell you who won the Super Bowl, what year. They can tell you how many yards they ran, how many catches they passed, how many fumbles they have. There are some people in here who know the stats of people who are playing in the NFL. Or baseball, hockey, whatever. And they have no problem talking about it. You want to overcome your fear of sharing your faith? Just spend some time with Jesus. Because the more that you spend time with Jesus, the more it just flows out naturally. The more that it will just come out of your mouth and you want to, where did that come from? And this is what you'll discover many times when you wake up in the morning and you just open up your Bible and you start reading and you just meditate and take in, somewhere throughout your day, God will give you an opportunity to share that. God will bring it up. Hey, you know, I was just reading about this morning. This is what God showed me. Hopefully it'll help you. We are just to pass on the goodness of God. We are to pass on what we know, because there are some people who don't know. And when we pass on the gospel, when we share about God's goodness, again, it helps people to see that the conflicts and the battles that we are in is not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. That's why it's important for us to share the gospel. So my encouragement to us, our takeaway, follow Jesus' example. Be willing to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just want us to read this portion of scripture really quick. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice what it says here, beginning in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God taking the two and becoming one, making the new man. Notice this. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So what is this ministry? Verse 19. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Us passing on the good news of the gospel so that others can be at peace with God. Now, what's the message we're to proclaim? What is this word? Listen, for he, speaking of God, made him, speaking of Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the message. This is what people need to hear. And this message is powerful enough to bring down the walls that cause division. The next challenge that I want to throw out is this. As believers in Christ, we now see that we're to do the work of the ministry, to do the work of the ministry of reconciliation. And here's my second encouragement. Listen, live it out. Live out what Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10 tells us. What does it say? I don't know. Let's turn there. Notice what it says. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, listen, beloved, let us do good to all. Who's all? All. What's that meaning in the Greek? All. That's how deep it is. That we are to do good to all people. Now notice this, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So as much as we have, don't stop doing good. Don't get weary. I understand we can get physically tired, but this is where we need to withdraw from the things of this world, withdraw from your cell phone, withdraw from social media, withdraw from watching things on a screen, and just dig your face into the word, spend some time worshiping the Lord, and he is the one that will refresh you. And so let's not grow weary while doing good. Why? Because here's the thing, as much as Jesus has provided peace for all, we have an enemy who is robbing people of their peace. We have an enemy out there who is blinding the eyes of people to see in who Jesus is, to coming into this right relationship with God. And the enemy wants to keep them in darkness. He is a great deceiver. Remember that the Bible describes him, that he has only come to kill, steal, and destroy. And his number one goal is he hates you. Did you hear that? He hates you. And he hates you so much that he does not want you to draw closer to Jesus. And he will deceive you. He will want to pull you away and to rob you with empty promises of joy and of peace. And it is amazing because I think today in our world, there are many people looking for peace. The problem is they're looking to peace in the wrong things. And he is good at manipulating people, at deceiving people and robbing them of the joy of being at peace with God. May it not be so under our watch. May it not be so as we have breath that we too would share the goodness of God, giving other people that opportunity to know Jesus like we do. Listen, we need today step up and be earnest about our time. Because the Bible tells us very clearly that the days are getting darker and times are getting worse. And it even tells us that there are going to be some from the faith who will depart. May that not be so with us. May we stay the course. May we be grounded in his word. May we continue to grow deeper in the knowledge of who Jesus is, and not just have head knowledge, but allow the knowledge that we have turn into action, that God will give us wisdom and discernment how to live out his word today in a world that doesn't even see him. Today is the day for us as saints to walk boldly for him, to walk boldly in front of those who don't know him, and to be able to plant a seed of hope to hearts that are hurting. Because I believe the time is ripe. The time is now. And we need to be faithful and bold to do it. We don't need to be afraid. God is not asking you to be a Bible scholar. He's not asking you to memorize a ton of scripture. You pass on what you know. And then invite. Invite them to come to church. Oh, well, Pastor, they already told me no. So what? Invite them again. You just never know when you might catch them at the right time and they say, all right, I'll go. Not because I want to. That's the excuse they'll give. But deep down inside, they're looking for something. And I pray that they would see our lives and our lives would draw them to Jesus and not cause them to fall away. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning, and I want to thank you for your word. And I pray that, again, this word of peace demonstrating God's grace would just, we would grow deeper in it, that we would have more of an understanding and the beauty that we would see because of Jesus. We are now at peace with God, and we can have peace with one another. We can have that peace of God, that no matter what happens to us in this world, we will not be shaken. And so, God, I pray that you would help my brothers and sisters right now, that you would empower them with boldness to go out and to be that light, to be a witness for you. God, may we again draw people to you, not to us, but to you. We want them to come to know the beauty of your love and your grace and your mercy. So, Lord, would you please put one, two, whoever it may be upon our hearts, and that you would bring those divine appointments, and that, Lord, we would again be faithful and just share what we know and take that step of faith, even if we are maybe afraid. God, just help us to open up our mouth, and that you would give us the words to speak. So bless my brothers and sisters this week with that opportunity. But I also want to pray. Maybe there's some in here this morning. Maybe you're the one that's getting ripped off by the enemy. Maybe you're the one who has been deceived and robbed of the joy of having peace with God. Maybe you're chasing and striving after the things of this world, thinking that that's what's going to give you contentment, what's going to bring you joy and satisfy you. And out of the years of me walking in this world, I can honestly tell you that anything that this world has to offer, it can provide a temporary joy, but it has no eternal value. And our desire is to live for what matters most. And I pray that you would see that, because you can gain all of the treasures of the world, but it is not worth forfeiting your soul. Because once you pass from this life here on this earth, you can't take those things with you. And so I pray that today you would see the beauty of God's grace and his love that he is extending to you to give you this amazing gift of salvation. If you are looking for peace, peace has a name, and his name is Jesus. And so if this is you this morning, right where you're at, I want to encourage you. You can receive this peace. You can receive Jesus into your heart and have a personal relationship with God. That you can be forgiven of your sins. That you could be made right with God and have a personal relationship with him. that his Holy Spirit will come upon your life, that he will dwell in you and lead you, giving you wisdom and understanding of how to live for the Lord and empowering you to do it. That God gives us an amazing victory that we can actually say no to sin. And that from this day on, we would just live for him. If this is you, right where you're at, I want to invite you to slip up your hand, because it would be an honor to lead you in a right relationship with God. Lord, I want to thank you that we've been able to hear your word this morning. And I pray that we're all family, that we all believe in you. And I do ask, God, that from this day on, you would continue to empower us to live for you. Show us each and every day how we can do this. For we desire to be your instruments. Use us. Help us to fulfill, God, the purpose that you've given each and every one of us to build for your kingdom. And I ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.